Hello and welcome to the first Young Families Podcast, October 2018. I'm Garrett Moore, Director of Young Families and Young Adults Ministries at Perimeter Church, here with my lovely and very wise wife, Allie.
Hi, guys.
We'll be your hosts each month, helping to equip you as the primary discipler of your children in the years of parenting elementary-age kids and younger. We'll hear from others each month as well. This time we have Shanti and Jeff Feldhahn, who were our featured couple at the first Young Family Sunday of the year last month. They'll be answering a few questions that were texted in that morning that we were unable to get to. If you missed that Young Family Sunday, be sure to go to perimeter.org/YFpodcast to listen to the recording. We'll also have a few resources featured every month. We'll have no shortage of things to talk about there. This month we have a few books. We'll post links to those at perimeter.org/YFpodcast as well. First, I want to make sure that you are in the loop, though, on what's going on in our community for November. Young Family Sunday will be November 11th with Martin and Laura Story Elvington. Should be a great time with them. Many of you would know that they've been through some significant challenges together from the early days of their marriage. If you're new to Perimeter, Laura is one of our worship leaders for Sunday services who also happens to have a pretty significant ministry as a recording artist and songwriter, and also has a few books. One called When God Doesn't Fix It, written about Martin's diagnosis with a brain tumor years ago, and their navigation through life afterward. We're going to have a conversation about what it looks like to do parenting and marriage in the midst of suffering and difficulty. It's going to be very worth your time. Any of these Young Family Sundays, I'm not necessarily looking for a couple to come in who just has awesome advice. I'm trying to bring in couples who have faced real challenges, real suffering, and have been shaped by the Lord in and through it to come and share about what they learned about Him, what they learned about themselves, how they feel like they've failed and succeeded in parenting and marriage, and maybe some thoughts about what's working well for them these days in those areas. So join us at 10:45 in the Ministry Center on November 11th for Young Family Sunday with Martin and Laura. Also, that following Saturday, November 17th, is our next Young Family Serve Day. We'll be with Fully Furnished Ministries all that morning. They used to be called Movers and Shakers, same ministry, just a new name. They help get quality used furniture into the hands of people in need. It's just a great ministry, great opportunity to serve with your kids. So we'll always be in need of folks to help move the furniture. I know some ladies who can really move some furniture, but dads, we're definitely looking for you in particular on this one. There'll be some deliveries of furniture that morning, activities tailored for our kids' ages as well. So don't worry, we won't be asking any toddlers to move armoires or anything. There'll be coloring pictures maybe to put in care packages for children of the families in need. Older kids might help out cleaning furniture, etc. You know, several of you have told us that you really want opportunities to serve together as a family. So we put these together this year. And honestly, we have not had a great response so far. So we need your help if you want to help keep this thing going. November 17th, the week before Thanksgiving, come out and serve with us. You can sign up for that date or any of the other serve dates this year at perimeter.org/youngfamilies. All of the dates are posted. So if you know you're out for November, but you want to get involved, sign up for December or January. And by the way, those dates are December 8th and January 12th. Speaking of December, we will not have Young Family Sunday that month. Instead, we'll just have a big event. It'll be the first ever Perimeter Family Christmas Movie Night. So it's going to be a blast. We've got all kinds of fun stuff going on out in the atrium and as you enter the building. And then we'll be playing The Star, great Christmas movie. They're in on the big screens in the main auditorium. We're saying, hey, if you want to wear your PJs, if that sounds fun to get comfy and do that, go for it. If not, no sweat. But December 16th is the date for that. So mark that one on your calendars. And if you don't have one of the magnets yet to put on your fridge, which has all these dates on it already, then please grab one at the next Young Family Sunday or next event that you happen to be at. I do want to let you know also November 10th is going to be our next date night. It's not a curated date night. This time, just going to be the normal Young Families date night. You go out and get a voucher from us. You can get those vouchers, again, at the website, perimeter.org/youngfamilies. So please go out, have fun, let us pay for your sitter. Now we're going to hear from Jeff and Shanti Feldhahn. Shanti is author of the bestseller for women only. She's a pretty in-demand conference speaker and author of many other books as well. Her husband Jeff has joined her writing for men only, for couples only, and they're Perimeter members. So they joined us at Young Family Sunday back in September. We didn't get to all of the questions that some of you had asked, so I asked them if we could catch up, do a little interview here, and so they were very gracious to allow me to ask a few more questions as they were in the car riding up to conference. So we'll hear a few of their thoughts now. So let me just start at the top then. The question is, what are your thoughts on the five love languages, and how do you show each other love in unique ways?
I think Gary Chapman's work is brilliant. I mean, the five love languages are such an important way of looking at it, because it is absolutely accurate that you're, and it is what we found in our research as well, that everybody is trying to show the other person love and care, right? It's just you don't necessarily understand the other person. You don't know some of these little things. And so you're trying really hard in the wrong areas half the time. Or you know, sometimes you're hurting each other's feelings even. Like, you're working really hard, and not only are you not making them feel cared for, actually be, like, hurting them. I mean, it's not good. Yeah. So the love languages is a great concept. It is funny, though, because we found, and I do a lot of work with Dr. Chapman, and, you know, so shortly after some of my surveys were done, I said, okay, Gary, we have an issue here, because 87% of men are saying that their love language is words of affirmation.
Wow.
I think that's a guy thing, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, not that it's not a girl thing,
right,
obviously. But that tends to be the top one for the vast majority of men,
yeah,
which isn't surprising, you know, when you look at all the other stuff we found about how much, you know, men have that vulnerability inside about whether they're any good at what they do. So, so how we sort of show each other love or experience love, like, We have tried to do the love languages and to sort of keep them in mind. You know, I've tried to remember, you know, that Jeff's love language is words of affirmation. And it doesn't necessarily always mean I do it right, though.
Yeah.
And Jeff is actually really, really good at remembering and sort of focusing on the things that are going to matter the most to me,
mm-hmm,
because I actually have a bunch that sort of all rise to the surface, like quality time and words of affirmation and physical touch. And so I can tell that, you know, he's sort of making a point to, you know, when we're sitting at church, he'll put his arm around me.
Mm.
You know, like, he's making a point to remember that that matters, which is cool.
And as with all of these things, it ceases to be something that I necessarily even think about over time. You know, it's practicing and practicing and practicing. And then it becomes a habit and muscle memory and all of those things that the neurologists talk about. And that's what I want. And it's, quite frankly, it's easy.
Mm.
It's easy in the moments that I'm not ticked off.
Yeah.
It's not easy, honestly, when it's I have to make the choice to do it, when I would rather Shanti experience some discomfort. So it's not complex, I'll say that.
Yeah, that's good.
If you practice it a lot, it becomes second nature. And then in those moments where you really don't want to do it, then hopefully the better angels kick in for you.
Second question is, how do you balance demanding careers with family life, and what boundaries have you set?
Well, listen, this is life for us today, right? And it is probably for a lot of the people in your young married, young families classes. I mean, we're just constantly running around with kids and, you know, full-time jobs that take us on trips, a lot of different places. The one thing that we learned sort of the hard way that is very, it was very, very hard for me especially to come to terms with, was that this kind of life means that I have to make choices, that I can't try to do it all, that I can't try to sort of do everything that I would want to do in this time, and that something was, I was going to have to say no to a bunch of things, which is really hard. So, like, for me, it means setting the boundaries of I'm literally just going to have to give up doing some things that I would otherwise like to do, in order to be able to do the things that are much more important to do that I, you know, also want to do. I want to spend time with Jeff and kids. One other thing from a logistical standpoint, one of the other things that I think really makes our situation work, despite being insane with, you know, I travel all the time or whatever, is that when I'm traveling, Jeff picks up the slack, and when he's in a really busy season, I pick up the slack. We in the church, we really need to be the ones who are at the forefront of encouraging both the mom and the dad to be equally involved as parents.
That's great. Third question is, can you send us a link where we can get the answers from our spouse? So why do we not do that?
That's why it's anonymous.
Yes.
I can respond completely honestly. That's why we don't even know who your spouse was. We don't know who you were.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's part of what makes the research fun, that we can hopefully get honest answers.
We'll do the funny question from the survey results. How many anniversaries dates don't have a match? You don't.
That's hilarious. And right now there's no way to tell, because there were people there who were not there with their spouse. So
yeah,
we're just gonna have to leave that one up to your imagination.
Were there people along the way that were helpful for you in learning to believe the best about each other? Were mentors or pastors or things?
You know, that's interesting. I mean, certainly we had couples that we admired, but I don't think anyone had ever articulated it in that way for us, that at least to where we could, it made sense to us.
Yeah.
And so honestly, what it came down to as far as the mentors would have been the hundreds of highly happy couples that we interviewed in focus groups that really made that work for us.
Yeah, that's really true. I mean, it was a fascinating research project. It was just fascinating to sit down with all of these couples that were at the highest levels of happiness in their marriage and just asking them questions. You know, we spent about 3 years on that research. And I mean, it was really life-changing for us. It's a good example for why you want people to be in encouraging Christian fellowship, you know?
That's exactly right. For those couple of years where we were just entirely surrounded by these highly happy couples, I think it reshaped us.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me.
Absolutely.
Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye.
All right, we've come to our portion where we're going to review a few resources for you. And Al's always really great looking for resources to try to communicate about the faith to our kids, Kendi and Shepherd, who are 5 and 3. And so we've got a few books this month we're going to look at. Tell me about those.
Yeah, we have What Every Child Should Know About Prayer by Nancy Guthrie, The Pumpkin Patch Parable by Liz Curtis Higgs, and The Voyage to the Star Kingdom by Anne Riley.
Okay, so let's start with the book What Every Child Should Know About Prayer. Nancy Guthrie is an author that a lot of people would know around PCA circles probably. What's this book all about?
Yeah, so this is obviously, all about prayer.
Ah.
It is a devotional style book, so you're going to do one page per night. It's got awesome illustrations. It's broken up into six different sections about just hitting on different aspects of prayer. So we start out with sort of the why and how we pray, then we move to the different types of things we can pray for, then people in the Bible who did pray, what they prayed. It goes through a huge section on different psalms, different emotions we can pray. The Lord's Prayer, of course, is a big section, and in the end, it's a very practical, okay, let's pray. Here are some examples of how to pray together.
Yeah. So, obviously, as you've talked about the book, it's kind of a positive sense of it, but what do you like about it?
Yeah, I love, first of all, the illustrations are awesome. They are going to draw kids in. Kendi and Shep love to flip through this book, even when we're not reading it. It's set up to be really simple. You could read it. It would take 2 minutes max to read. At night. I love that it has honestly really helped me in teaching how to pray. I mean, I've learned a ton from it. It has gotten me out of the rut of praying with the same things with the kids every night. I love it. I really can't say anything bad about this book.
That's great. And then at the end of each little page, it's got the little I can pray section.
Yes.
Where it's kind of walking your kids through a very little, short, simple prayer. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of an action item each time.
Along with a verse on every page. So it's very rooted in the Bible. Nancy Guthrie is, like you said before, really well known, great theologian. You can trust what's in this book is going to really teach your kids some biblical truth about prayer.
Yeah. And just as you said that, you flipped up into a page where the illustration's just awesome underwater scene. So I love that about it. You know, as I was a kid, books with great illustrations really drew me in. And I think I even came to faith through my mom reading an illustrated version of Pilgrim's Progress with awesome illustrations in there. So love that. Love that it's simple. Little kids can get this, and it's also teaching us something, so that's good. There's a depth of biblical theology here, which is great. And you can use it for sure, not just at bedtimes, because, you know, as we talked about, our kids feel like they're going to bed later and later right now, and so bedtime seems to be getting shorter in terms of what we're doing at night a lot of times. And so we could pull this end of it at dinner time as well. And
yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah. Highly recommend.
Great.
Go get it.
All right. Then Pumpkin Patch Parable. What's this one?
Yeah, this one is just a little storybook by Liz Curtis Higgs. Very cute illustrations. It's harvest, fall, themed. It just follows a farmer from the point where he buys pumpkin seeds to planting the seeds to waiting for the harvest to picking his pumpkin and carving it. It basically relates the gospel to carving and cleaning a pumpkin and getting it ready for Halloween.
So what do you like about this book?
So I do love that on every single page there is a Bible verse that connects the main story of a farmer to the gospel and the idea of God chooses us, he cleans us out, he puts a light in us. Really cute, really simple. Definitely for younger kids, I would say elementary school and younger, but a great resource to have and to read through as we're all carving pumpkins soon, and just a way to relate it to the gospel, to our kids.
Yeah, and as you said, it's for littler kids. It's a picture book.
Yeah.
Anything you don't love about this one in particular?
Yeah, the only thing I would say about this is Christ is not mentioned until the very last page. It's kind of assumed through the book that God redeems us, we know, through Christ, but it's more a general telling of the gospel through some verses. So you're going to have to fill in the details, it'd be easy to make it a richer telling of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. This is kind of laying the groundwork, sort of almost like a pre-gospel conversation, some parables, some metaphor that helps your kids think through. But in terms of the real message of the good news about Jesus, you're really going to have to fill that in for
them. Yeah. But it's a great book to have. You're carving pumpkins anyways. Kids love, harvest pumpkin themed books.
Yeah.
Cute way to relate it to the gospel.
That's awesome. So that's great for this season, maybe all the way to Christmas.
We go strong with the pumpkin. Mm.
Okay, last one is Voyage to the Star Kingdom. So let's talk about this one a little bit. This is written by Anne Riley.
Yes.
Where did you find this book originally?
So this book I saw recommended by some of my favorite counselors that I follow on Instagram. So it has come from professionals that are working and walking through hard stuff with kids.
Okay.
So that immediately caught my attention.
Yeah. And so let's talk about the subject matter a little bit before we get into the book itself. What is this book exactly and what's it talking about?
Yeah. So this is sort of a parable about death, about a family who has to walk through, in the book, it's a huge, huge storm. What we as adults can pull from it reading through is their 2 out of 3 of their daughters are called home to be with Jesus. So this is a way, it's a story that can relate that to kids on their terms.
Yeah. And so this is heavy. As I heard Allie reading the book to our kids in the other room, I couldn't even make it through hearing her read through this book without tearing up.
Yeah.
So it's a metaphor with, the storm comes in and these angel fish are taking these kids home to the Star King.
Mm-hmm.
But you said our kids didn't put together that it was talking about death per se.
No. Yeah. So if you're not explicitly explaining the metaphors, the kids are going to see this as a beautiful story. Mm-hmm. I think Kendi understood that it's about separation mm-hmm. and being reunited,
mm-hmm.
Which was great for her.
Yeah. And you said that they did connect that the Star King was the Lord.
Yes.
Ultimately.
Yes.
Which was cool.
They did. It was easy for them
to
make that connection. They also love the illustrations. The illustrations in this book are so neat. They're just beautiful. And the story itself is written beautifully. It's really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'll just read a short passage from it. It says, "Yes, said the angel fish, the shadow can seem frightening, but you must remember that you are children of the Star King. You are strong enough to face the shadow because he has given you his strength. Suddenly the girls felt stronger than ever before." So that's just an example. I don't think I would really even have the words to explain to Kendi the idea of death
mm-hmm.
and what happens after separation. It's a beautiful picture of the whole process. And I will say too, the first time I read it, I did tear up,
mm-hmm.
Like you. The second time when you heard me reading it to the kids, it ends with so much hope.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't felt so excited about Christ's return or what he's preparing for us in a long time, or close to how I felt after reading this book.
Wow.
It was just that impactful.
Hmm.
Really well done.
That's great. So again, Voyage to the Star Kingdom. Is there anything about this one that you don't love?
The only thing I would say is, and you can weigh in on what you think about this. In the end, it makes sense to me, but in the end of the story, so the family has been separated, they come back together, and it is very much focused on the best thing is that they were together forever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the Star King is, because the Star King had made all things new, so mm-hmm. obviously he's there.
Yeah.
My only thought is maybe emphasizing more that
sure.
Christ is there with us, and that's the greatest thing.
Yeah.
Also, we're all together is beautiful too, but it's mm-hmm. written for kids. I understand why they did that.
Oh yeah. 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 Totally. Yeah. So it kind of ends on the family together. Mm-hmm. So there seems to be a bit of an emphasis on that as opposed to the reality of what heaven is and our presence
with Jesus
yeah. forever. But then, you know, as we talked about, the tangible, visible is helpful for kids
mm-hmm.
in terms of grasping onto these sort of concepts that seem very abstract for them and to us a lot of the time
yeah.
As well. So it's one of those things where probably if you were to pick this book up and this is something that you read, you know, here and there as your kids get older, maybe as they're getting older, you're then emphasizing theologically what we really are looking forward to, what our hope truly is in Christ Jesus, as opposed to just being together. So
yeah. But a great resource. Obviously, the alternative being not talking about death at all.
Right.
You know, this is a great resource where our kids are going to more and more we're either going to shield them from the subject or help walk them through that. And this is a great resource to help walk them through it.
Yeah. I don't know of any other children's book that, that talks about death. Certainly not one from a gospel centered, perspective. And so I love that. And, you know, certainly our kids are going to face suffering. Somehow we're going to face suffering. We will face death at some point. They'll know people who've have cancer diagnoses or whatever. And so this is good in terms of, again, kind of laying groundwork,
mm-hmm.
Giving your kids some categories in which to think, some ability to articulate what it is we believe. Really, even before the conversation about death specifically comes up. So
yeah.
We'd recommend this one wholeheartedly. So, great. Al, thanks for reading through these books and for reading them to our kids and then for sharing as well with the Young Families community. So,
yeah, love doing it.
We will post again the links to how to get a hold of these on the Young Families page. So check that out, perimeter.org/YF podcast. And Allie will be back next month with a few more resources for us.
All right.
Thanks. You know, Shanti and Jeff talked a little bit about managing life and busy schedules. I know that's huge for us in this stage of life as well. I'll bet a few of you are listening to this in the car, racing on your way someplace right now. I appreciated when Shanti talked about having to say no to some things. That's vitally important. You know, all the stuff that we're talking about as a church, like greeting, befriending, and inviting those in proximity to us into our lives, or even our church. That's really never going to happen if we, the church, are not intentionally stewarding our time and saying no to good things, actually. The things we need to say no to might sometimes be parts of our lives that we really like also. For some of us, it might be relationships. Trying to maintain the same level of relationship with everyone you've ever known is really impossible, especially as most of us have plenty of those friends who move away and aren't really an active part of our lives anymore. Something that ends up shutting us down to the possibility of new relationships, maybe in our neighborhoods or places where we hang out, like gyms, coffee shops, whatever. Others will have to think really critically about the ways that our kids' activities are governing everything about our lives. For a lot of folks around here, that's definitely athletics. There are a lot of people who are great athletes, and their kids seem to have some talent. The kids love it. They want to play every sport or play year-round, travel ball, whatever, and that's not a bad thing at all. But some of us may find that these are some things we'll have to say no to in order to thrive as a family, thrive in our marriages, and have real spiritual health. You know, busyness is addicting, and sometimes can make us feel needed and strong and important, and that's powerful stuff. But that's the challenge I'm going to leave us with this month. Sit down, take an inventory of your time, and pray about what God might have you say no to. You know, he actually put the Sabbath in the Ten Commandments because it was so important for the Lord that his people pause and deeply reflect on their need for him. In the Old Testament, they needed the Savior to come. Now we reflect on the fact that he has come, and we need his presence and his power in our lives to ever do anything spiritually worthwhile. You know, he doesn't need our busyness. We need him. So pray about it. We'd love to hear if you think the Lord is calling you to say no to something. Drop us an email at youngfamilies@perimeter.org. Look for the podcast next month, and we hope to see you at one of our events soon.